John chapter 15 at verse 1, this is the living word of the living God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Well, they call him the smiling preacher. So far, so good. We should be smiling preachers. We have a joyful, wonderful message to preach. But you'll find this smiling preacher preaching, this particular smiling preacher, preaching at the former home of the NBA Houston Rockets, the Compaq Center in Houston, Texas. And on any given weekend, he preaches to around 30,000 people. His name is Joel Osteen, and he pastors not just a megachurch, but what social commentators in the United States are now calling a gigachurch. It's huge. He's often described in this way, a cross between Billy Graham, the motivational speaker Tony Robbins, and the New Age spiritualist Deepak Chopra. What is his message? Well, in a recent article in the Ottawa Citizen, it says, since taking over the ministry from his father John, who died in 1999, Joel Osteen has moved to the front of the evangelical pack with sermons, and here's his message, heavy on self-help advice and light on, quote, moral browbeating. Heavy on self-help. I couldn't think of a more diametrically opposed message to that than Jesus' words in John chapter 15. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Friends, what do you want to accomplish in 2006? What are some of your plans? What are some of your goals? The things that you will be busy with in all sorts of areas of your life. What will you be engaged in this coming year? Listen again to these words of Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In the original Greek language, Jesus uses a double negative, something that's not good English, but very good Greek and very emphatic Greek. Apart from me, Jesus said, you are not able to do nothing. You are not able to do nothing. He couldn't have said it in a more clear way. What Jesus is speaking of here is human insufficiency. We hear a lot, or we have heard a lot in past decades, of the human potential movement, the anthem of humanism. But Jesus speaks of utter human insufficiency and inability. Listen to what Alexander McLaren said. Union with Christ is the condition of all fruitfulness. There may be plenty of activity and yet barrenness. Works are not fruit. Works are not fruit. We can bring forth a great deal of ourselves, and because it is of ourselves, it is nothing. Fruit is possible only on condition of union with Him. He is the productive source of it all. McLaren goes on to say, here in these words of Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. Here is the condemnation of all the busy life of men, which is not lived in union with Jesus Christ. It is a long row of numbers, like some other long rows of algebraic symbols, added up to just zero. Without me, nothing. All your busy life, when you come to sum it up, is made up of pluses and minuses which precisely balance each other, and the net result, unless you are in Christ, is just nothing. And on your gravestone, the only fitting epitaph is a great round number. Nothing. He did not do anything. There is nothing left of his toil. The whole thing has evaporated and disappeared. That is life apart from Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a busy, busy world. But what a perspective Jesus Christ gives on the labors of men when he says that apart from him, we can do nothing. What a great surprise it will be to multitudes when, after they have built their great fames and fortunes on this earth, and when they die, and at the last great day, they will have the heavenly, divine perspective on their lives, and it will all be nothing. Nothing. There's a great warning in Jesus' words. And do I have to ask the question, do you want your whole life to end up as just nothing? Nothing at all. What a warning. What a call to come to Christ. You know, in those words of Jesus and in the rest of these verses, there's a great encouragement. Even those words in that negative sense, apart from me, you can do nothing. There's a great encouragement because what's implied? In me, you can do something, and you can be something in Christ. The very fact that he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. There's a great seed of hope there. In him, you can be, and you can do for the glory of God. In Christ, we can be fruitful. The theme of these verses, with this picture of a vine and the branches that come from the vine, is union with Christ. Are you united to Christ through faith? Are you in Him and is He in you? The way that a vine and the branches are in the vine. It's the same sort of theme that we have in a different image here in the Lord's table with bread and wine. Bread that we eat that goes inside of us and is part of us that sustains us and nourishes us and gives us the energy to be able to do things. Speaks of union with Jesus Christ. Think of the union that there is when that bread is broken down and becomes the nutrient of our bodies. Jesus Christ is the nutrient of your soul. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. In the same way that apart from food and drink, we would die. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. But in Him, we can be fruitful. But what kind of people are those people who are in Christ and who are abiding in Christ? Let me just highlight five brief marks that we see here in this passage, and one that we don't, but I trust you'll see the relation. Those who are in Christ and those who are abiding in Christ, those who understand that apart from Christ you can do nothing, must be, first, I think, humble people. How can you be a proud person as a Christian when you understand these words of Jesus, apart from me you can do nothing? We're so quick to engage in self-congratulation to one degree or another in any of the good things or the blessings we enjoy in the Christian life. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Do we really understand, brothers and sisters, how much we are debtors to grace? And who we'd be apart from the grace of God? It's easy to look down on the person in the gutter, or the prostitute on the street, or the corrupt politician in office. Are we any better apart from Christ? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we'd be nothing. We'd be nothing, even if we were the richest, most famous, successful person in the world. It would still all be nothing. Apart from God's grace. People who understand Jesus' words in John 15 are humble people. We are saved by grace. Every blessing that we enjoy is traceable back to God in Christ. Secondly, people who are abiding in Christ and who know that apart from Christ we can do nothing must be biblical people. We must be people of the book. We must be scriptural people. Jesus said, if I abide in you and you abide in me and my word abides in you, there is no sense in the scripture whatsoever of being able to have Christ without his word. And we don't truly have his word unless we have Christ. They are inseparable because he is the word. He is the word of God. And these people that say they have some sort of relationship with Jesus and have such a low view of the Word of God have never really heard the Master speak. Because those who understand when Jesus said, apart from me you can do nothing, will crave the Word of God. Because it's in the Word of God that we have wisdom, and we would have no wisdom without Him and without it. We would not know about God or His revelation, specifically in Jesus Christ and our great salvation, or the specifics of God's law without His Word. And so those who know Jesus and who know that apart from Him we can do nothing, if we are in Him, will be biblical people. I was so glad to hear of that initiative this morning of reading through the Bible and helping each other to do that. This congregation will be glorifying to God and will be a blessing to one another, and you will know greater blessing in your life the more biblical you become, the more biblical we become together. And so many forces and currents in the world today and even in the church are moving away from Scripture in one way or another. If we are moving away from Scripture, mark it, we are moving away from Christ. You cannot have it any other way. We will be humble people. We will be biblical people. We will also be praying people. Praying people. Look at what Jesus says there as he's speaking about abiding in Him as the vine and being those fruitful branches. He goes on to say in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and then what does he go on to? The topic of prayer. Ask of me. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. He just naturally flows into that topic of prayer. If it is true that apart from him we can do nothing, then doesn't it make complete logical, rational sense that we would be a praying people? That the first motion of our hearts in any circumstance or situation would be prayer? If it's true that we understand that apart from him we can do nothing? Listen to what John Piper said about prayer. He's writing to pastors, but it speaks to all Christians. A cry for help from the heart of a childlike pastor or Christian is sweet praise in the ears of God. Nothing exalts him more than the collapse of self-reliance, which issues in passionate prayer for help. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 50, verse 15. Now listen to what he says. Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words, this single sentence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we truly pray, that's what we're acknowledging. That apart from Christ, we can do nothing. He goes on to say, oh, how we need to wake up to how much nothing we spend our time doing. Apart from prayer, all our scurrying about, all our talking, all our study amounts to nothing. For most of us, the voice of self-reliance is 10 times louder than the bell that tolls for the hours of prayer. The voice cries out, you must open the mail. You must make that call. You must write this sermon. You must prepare for that meeting. You must go to the hospital. But all the while, the bell tolls softly. Without me, you can do nothing. If we understand those words, we'll be a people of prayer. We'll be humble, biblical, and praying. But fourthly, and here let me make a small excursus to another passage. What's one of the other great nothing passages that you think of in Scripture? Jesus here says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What's another great nothing passage in Scripture in the New Testament? Well, I think Christian minds go right away to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you remember what he wrote there? If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Those who understand that apart from Christ we can do nothing and who are truly abiding in him will be humble, biblical, praying, and loving people. Love will mark us. If we are not loving, then it's a huge red flag waving over our lives, nothing. Nothing. Let every man examine himself. Let's examine ourselves, as the Catechism says, in terms of our love and faith and new obedience. But that characteristic and quality of love. Do you love God? Do you love others? It's so simple, and that's the heart of the whole Christian ethic and moral system. Do you love God? And do you love others? Do you find yourself growing in love to others and less in love of yourself? Do you find yourself thinking more about others before you act? Before you speak what you want to speak, are you thinking about others and their circumstances and their feelings? Or is your first thought always, me, me, me? Aren't there commercials now? I've heard it often on it. The three most important people, doesn't it go that way in my life? Me, myself, and I. And it's the commercial of our day and of our age. If we're abiding in Christ, and we know apart from Him we can do nothing, one of the marks of that will be that we are loving people. And lastly, which is really just the whole theme of this section, we will be a fruitful people. We will bear fruit. We don't have to worry so much about the bearing of the fruit as much as the abiding in Christ and His Word and being a praying people. Then the fruit will come. God is the gardener, and He will make us fruitful. What is that fruit? Well, people debate it. There's the fruit of the Spirit, certainly, in the book of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Beautiful fruit that blossoms in the life of every Christian. Some say it's converts, people that are converted to become Christians, the way that we just sang tonight, that children, physical children, are called fruit. So too, spiritual children are like fruit. But either way, the work of God's grace in us, making us more fruitful, or through us, bringing fruit into His kingdom, into His harvest, we will be fruitful. Beloved, those are the words that I would have ringing in all of our ears, both as the one who pastors and preaches, and those who minister in many other ways here in this congregation, those words of Jesus, both as that great warning and that great encouragement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And yet by God's grace, we in Christ can say along with the Apostle Paul, in Christ, I can do all things. Let us pray. Lord, how our eyes need to be open to Your perspective and the real reality of this life and the life to come. Lord, we see so many things that people are doing, and in many ways they seem admirable and praiseworthy, great things and great accomplishments. And in and of themselves there may be blessing. But Lord, in the last analysis, apart from Jesus Christ, Jesus said, Your Son said, it's all nothing. And so, Lord, we pray that You would guard us from the envy of things that are really nothing. That You would help us to look at our own lives and see what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what it all means. And Lord, we also pray for Your grace to be found in Christ, to be grafted into that tree, to be made fruitful branches, so that the things that we do, even though in many ways the fruit has many blemishes, Lord, if it's true fruit, it will last forever for Your glory and for our blessing. Lord, we pray as we enter into this new year, that You would help each one of us know in a deeper way what it means to abide in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Easy words to say. We do pray that this would be our experience more and more. May it change and affect the way that we come to Your Word. That we would see Your Word linked so closely to Jesus that we could never think of Him without Your Word and never think of Your Word without Him. Father, we pray that you would make us a praying people. There is so much, Lord, that we are called to as we pray, thy kingdom come. But Lord, remind us that apart from your Son, we could do nothing. And that in him, Lord, wonderful fruit will come. May not be the fruit, the kind of fruit and the size of fruit that we may expect or imagine, but Lord, help us to keep our eyes open for the fruit of your producing. Lord, it may not be a packed stadium. There may be more fruit in the praise uttered out of a child's mouth than in the singing of 30,000 people. Lord, give us spiritual eyes to see true fruit, to see the fruit of brothers and sisters in Christ loving each other, forgiving one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another, growing in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Lord, this is fruit. And we pray, Lord, most of all, that being found fruitful, as Jesus said, that your name would be glorified in all the earth. Lord, even as we bring forth fruit, help us to look away and point away from ourselves to Jesus Christ, the true vine. He must increase, we must decrease. And the more that he is seen in us and among us, the more that he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Father, we pray these things as we enter into this night, and into this week, and into this year, for as many days as you would have us serve you upon this earth, we do so looking to you and your strength and your grace. Give us a humble and contrite sense of our insufficiency in and of ourselves, but of our great sufficiency in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.